You know, when we look at the monstrance that we use for adoration, the beautiful gold vessel that we place that host in, that large host in, so that we can spend that time adoring our Lord present in his most blessed sacrament. A lot of times these monstrances are designed to look like there's rays of light radiating from that host. Like the host is a light source and there's these rays of light coming from it. Now, that's not a coincidence. That's not a coincidence at all. That's by design. Those monstrances are designed that way to show us that in the middle of that object, with this precious gold and jewels and whatever else it might have, is something far more important. The light of the world come into the world. That monstrance is designed to show that the light of the world radiates from that host. And in fact, in Malta, when we do adoration, there are some spotlights which are over the altar, and they shine down on the altar. And when the monstrance is placed in the front on the front of the altar, it glows as if there is light radiating from it, because it reflects those spotlights so clearly. When we look at that, when we see that radiant light, those beams coming off of that monstrance, it should remind us that our Lord Jesus is the light of the world, who came into the world that has been darkened by sin. This world is affected by sin and it is darkened. But there is a light that guides us to the salvation, that guides us to that eternal life with our Heavenly Father through the communion of the Holy Spirit. Now, this light of the world, this light of Christ, led the wise men, literally. They literally followed a light. They followed a star. Now, we all know the story. We've heard it since we were infants. We sing it every time we sing the We Three Kings and all that. They came from the east following a star. Now, there are many who argue what that star really was. There are astronomers who will be more than happy to tell you that in year 3 BC or whatever year that Jesus was born, that there was this supernova, that the light that exploded 10 million years ago and the light reached Earth, something like that. And that very well could be that what they were following was a literal star. They were following a bright light in the heavens that by God's grace and supernatural work led them right to the Holy Family, led them right to where our Lord was laying. And of course, we know these gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's very interesting. Some of the traditional hymns, many of the traditional hymns that we know, they weren't just written as songs of praise, weren't just written as ways of telling the scripture story. They teach. There are many traditional hymns that are as much theological teaching as it is a prayer to God. And We Three Kings is one of those hymns. It shows the traditional symbolism behind those three gifts. When we look at the three verses where it talks about the gifts, it describes why they brought the gifts. The first one is gold. In the second verse, it talks about how he brought gold. And it was gold to crown our Lord as king. You see, of course, gold, like today, is traditionally a very precious metal. It's a metal that was used for the crowns for royalty. So to bring gold would be to acknowledge his kingship, that our Lord was king. But of course, not just an earthly king, because that's where the second gift comes in. The song tells us that frankincense, this incense, was brought to him because he is divine. He is God. This king is also God. And of course, then, like now, incense was used as a symbolism of our prayers, that just as that aromatic smoke ascends into the sky, ascends into the heavens, so our prayers ascend into the heavens. So the frankincense was brought as a form of worship of our Lord, who is God. And then there's that third gift, myrrh. Myrrh was traditionally used for funerals. It was used to anoint the body. It's an aromatic oil that was used to anoint the body of the one who died. This bringing this third gift to the infant might seem morbid, but it was really foreshadowing the sacrifice that our Lord would make for our salvation. That he, this king, this divine king who has come to earth to be the king over the world, would die for us, would die for our salvation. That's why those king, the wise men, the three kings, whatever you want to call them, and the Bible doesn't say exactly how many of them there were, we just know the three gifts. That is why they brought those gifts, because of the meaning behind those gifts. And that's why those gifts are emphasized in our scriptures, to remind us that our Lord is both divine and human, that he is the king of the world, and that he came to die for us. Well, just as the radiance of Christ, that light of Christ, led the three kings to our Lord, it also leads us, if we are as open as they were, as these kings from the east were open to where that light led them, we also need to be open to where the light of Christ leads us if we are willing to follow him. There are so many in our world today who they're looking for things that our Lord promises us. They're looking for peace in their lives. They're looking for comfort. They're looking for forgiveness. They're looking for love. And the problem is they look in the wrong places. They look to possessions to bring them the comfort they want. They look to other people that hurt them for love. They look to drugs and alcohol for peace. And they can't find the forgiveness they're looking for. They're looking in the wrong places where they need to look, where we need to look. Is our Lord Jesus. He promises us all of this if we follow him, if we give ourselves over to him. He promises us that we will find that peace, comfort, forgiveness, and love that we seek. And that we will find it if we follow him and follow his church. Because it is through his church, made up of sinful humans, admittedly, but it is through his church that we find that peace, comfort, forgiveness, and love. That we see this light of Christ shining in the world. The church should be the beacon on the hill, shining the light of Christ into the world. And it becomes that when we as Christians, we as followers of Christ, are obedient and respect the teachings which Christ has given us through his church. Now, this might be hard to believe because there are many, maybe even some people here, who disagree with what the church teaches. They think the church is wrong for teaching this thing or that. And there may be hard teachings that the church puts before us that someone would say, well, that's too hard. We can't do that. We still need to seek to follow our Lord. We still need to seek to follow those teachings because the church's teachings lead only one place, to him, to our Lord. That when we are obedient to the teachings of the church, we are obedient to Christ himself because he is the one who gave them to us. They come from him. They weren't made up. They come from our Lord. We especially see that light of Christ through the celebration of the Mass. This is why the church teaches that weekend Mass, Sunday Mass, is so important. It's vital for us that we attend. Because it is through the Mass that we all the more clearly see the light of Christ, and we are directly bathed in that light. Before I was a priest, before I was even a seminarian, I went to a conference, a Catholic conference, And one of the speakers was talking about our Lord's divine mercy, that beautiful image that we have hanging up in the back of the church of our Lord with the red and white rays of light coming from his Sacred Heart. And the speaker explained that when we come to Mass and the priest holds up that host and holds up that chalice after saying those words from our Lord, "This is my body, this is my blood," at that moment, those red and white rays of Christ's light comes down upon us. We are enveloped by that light, and that light enters into us. We receive the grace from our Lord. We receive that peace, comfort, forgiveness, and love that our Lord promises us. The Mass is as direct a counter with the grace and love of Christ as anything in this world. There is nothing in this world that will bring us closer to our Lord, because at the Mass we receive him. We receive him, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's why it's so essential we come to Mass every week. And that's why it's encouraged we go to Mass as often as we can, daily if possible. Because we want to receive our Lord. We want to be enveloped by his love and his mercy and his grace and his peace. So like the kings, may we follow that light. May we seek to follow that light of Christ wherever it may lead us and enter into that light. Allow it to embrace us. Allow it to come into us so that we may embrace the peace, comfort, forgiveness, and love that our Lord Jesus promises us.